This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I do.
We'll come back to you, Chris. Just a second.
He'll get it. He'll figure it out. He'll be fine. Chris Emma is one of the Score's representatives at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. So let's talk to him. He can tell us what he's seeing, what he is hearing. He's on Twitter at CEmma670, the 670 The Score Bears reporter on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. What's up, Chris? How are you?
You know, that was a funny intro with Dennis Allen because I got this new microphone, which I'm using here, and I was testing it out for the first time. I thought I had it all set, and I forgot this minor detail, the on-off button, so I was not quite working for that one.
You know what? All is forgiven. We've all been there. I sometimes forget to hit the on button right here in front of me. It's red. It's very bright. It should be on anytime I try to talk to you. Chris, give us the update on how things are going at the Combine from your purview in terms of what you're seeing and what you're hearing there that is interesting to you.
I mean, look, it's a different combine for the Bears compared to the last 2 years where they had the number one pick in hand. Obviously, 2 years ago, it was about, you know, which team will take the number one pick? How will they strike that deal and get that haul? And it happened pretty quickly after that. Last year for the combine, it was all about the quarterback situation and understanding that they were going to be moving on from Justin Fields and setting up shop to select Caleb Williams. It's different this year. It's a lot calmer, obviously, from the Bears standpoint with the draft, but it's become really clear throughout. They talk with Ryan Poles, talk with people around the league. The Bears are going to have a very aggressive free agency and offseason, and they're ready to kind of strike, pairing Ben Johnson and the roster that's built over the last 3 years with more premium talent and striking while the iron's hot. They see an opportunity now to try to get back up the rankings and have the kind of success they envision going forward. So it's going to be a really fascinating few weeks ahead. And here in Indianapolis, I mean, the way this works, obviously, you know, Ryan Poles and the brass come down early in the week and they have all these meetings with different people around the league, and they're getting a sense on price points, on free agency, starting to really formulate those plans and probably even strike a deal or two kind of off the record under the table. So that's the way it goes down here, and they're setting up the table for a really fascinating offseason.
What have you made of what I've called the Ben-gasm? This Ben
Is
Johnson.
Is that what we're calling it?
It's because it's just he's everywhere. He's all things to all people. He's doing comedy bits. He's not turning down any interviews. And the fact that he's willing to do it and the Bears are willing to put him out there, I love it. And it seems like he's having a blast.
Absolutely. Look, this is a really smart, personable guy who's great in these settings. And this is the honeymoon period. He hasn't lost a game yet. He hasn't mismanaged a clock yet. He hasn't had any of these issues yet. Like, everything is set up for him right now where things are feeling good. And that was one of the most miserable Bear seasons you can ever remember if you've watched the team however long. This is my 10 years down now covering the team and many more years watching that. I never thought something would compare to 2014, but that was right there. Like, you bounce back when you get the top guy on the coaching cycle and you bring him in. He brings an instant credibility to this team. And yeah, Dan, you know, the old Terry Bors thing about putting on the Cubs hat and suddenly like it tastes like it was weird seeing somebody that bright rocking that blue Bears hat and representing this franchise saying, man, this is a really smart dude in charge. Like, they should be celebrating. They should be feeling really good and getting him every interview possible to this point, because it changes the vibe. The second you bring in Ben Johnson to Hallis Hall, things feel different now. And I'm eager to see where it goes.
How does that compare to when they drafted Caleb Williams, the reception and the response from the rest of the league, the media itself, and also obviously the fan base?
I mean, yeah, obviously there was a ton of hype. We're less than a year out from that pick. And at this point a year ago, it was about setting everything up for Caleb Williams and believing that he was going to have that nest in which to grow. That nest collapsed around him last year. Obviously, everything fell apart on them. And look, nothing is guaranteed for the Ben Johnson era and for what's to come. But there's a ton of reason to be hopeful. This is the guy I said all along during this coaching search. Anything shy of Ben Johnson would have been a big disappointment in my mind. They got their guy. They got the guy who's going to lead them forward and shake things up. And my understanding, just, you know, for several months, obviously, looking at this coaching search was, this is a guy who's extremely bright, but he's also somebody with an edge. He's going to hold people to a standard in that building that's not there. And talk with people who know Ben Johnson really well, who know the Bears really well, said this is exactly what this team needed.
All right, so they got their quarterback. They got their head coach. They got their coaching staff. Now they need to get their guy when free agency starts. When I say their guy, there's a open parentheses S, close parentheses behind that, because it's probably going to be several guys. What do you feel like they're targeting in the free agent class versus what they're looking at from a draft perspective? Because one obviously leads directly into the other.
I mean, I won't be around the bush here. I think they're going to be very aggressive going after Trey Smith. I think he's going to be the top target. It checks all the right boxes. And I was one who asked Ryan Poles a couple days ago in that scrum about the idea of, are you willing to be more aggressive going after a top of the market free agent? And his response, and he was reading through the lines just as I was asking the question, like, you know who I'm asking about when I talk about that top of the market free agent. Ryan Poles' response was, if it's a guy who checks all the boxes, you feel really confident about it, there's nothing that should hold you back from being aggressive. Trey Smith is going to get a lot of money in free agency, but he's 25 years old coming off a Pro Bowl season. Ryan Poles obviously knows him really well, where you don't need to do your all that due diligence you do for any other free agent who's nameless, faceless guy out there. Ryan Poles knows Trey Smith really well and what's going to make him come to the Bears. And if he's available, if the Chiefs do not get that deal done and Trey Smith is out there, I do think that he's going to be a Bear.
When you say out there, I feel like what Brett Veach told us at the Combine is that they want to keep Trey Smith. And I have a lot of problems trying to justify how you're going to get him away from, maybe that's just my skepticism, how you're going to get him away from Kansas City when they can restructure contracts and do whatever to keep him. And I'm not saying he's going to take a quote-unquote discount, but if they can make him the highest paid guard in the league and keep him, it seems like that's going to be not a fool's errand, but tougher than it sounds.
Yeah. Now, one point against that, Marshall, is what came out about an hour ago. Travis Kelce said he's not retiring. He's coming back. And the Chiefs aren't going to let that guy walk. That is a big contract that's going to be on the books. And that was something to watch in the Trey Smith aspect for the Bears, was Travis Kelce's return potentially to Kansas City. If he did retire, then I thought Trey Smith was a lot more likely to go back to KC and go back to the Chiefs. He's going to have a ton of offers out there. Like, it's not like the Bears are going to be the only team going after him. It's not going to be a two-team bidding war with the Chiefs. Like, there's going to be a significant market for him, and that's going to be he's going to be one of the premier guys out there, period. But look, it makes so much sense for the Bears. They're positioned with the fourth most cap space right now. They're in a really good position, and they see this guy as such a natural fit, not to mention all the boxes that have been checked before. So I see this one potentially coming to fruition for the Bears, and I do believe it's going to happen eventually.
Breaking news, Ian Rappaport just tweeted, the Chiefs are planning to franchise tag star guard Trey Smith, sources say.
There goes that.
An intriguing move.
Can we dump the last 3 minutes here, guys?
As KC keeps one of its best players for $23.4 million on a one-year fully guaranteed deal. Breaking news on the score, brought to you by Wildfire, the favorite restaurant now of Chris. Emma, join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. God, I love live radio.
Well, Drew Dahlman, what do we think?
Hey, how about that Drew Dahlman?
No. I had prioritized Drew Dahlman because, one, he plays center, veteran guy who's the best in the free agent class. That's one. And two, I was like, I don't think Kansas City's going to let Trey leave.
Do I have to go find Ian Rappaport at a Starbucks now? Is that how
it's going? Yeah. Track him down, man. There you go.
You wouldn't be the first. You wouldn't be the first.
My currency at a Starbucks. Yeah. Well, okay. So cross that one off the list.
Wow. Now, when you were saying before, I want to get, why did you want to add about maybe like an under the table, like agreement to agree kind of thing? Do you think the Bears are acting that stealthily?
Yeah, and every team does. These deals are done in bars, in hallways, at St. Elmo's, all around. And it's not just the Bears. Obviously, it's every team. We know the quote-unquote legal tampering period, the open negotiation period, but so many deals are just struck here. And it might just be the framework, and then you okay it come March 10th when that time period comes around. I think it's 11 a.m. Central. Like, that's when the deals are done. DeAndre Swift last year had a deal done with the Bears, I think, 3 or 4 minutes into free agency. That was set. That was a very prominent running back market, and DeAndre Swift was just locked in. Like, the smart teams are doing this. They're having these meetings, and they're getting out there with agents, and they're doing their due diligence and getting the framework in place. So the Bears have people who are ready to make these deals, and nothing's going to catch them off guard, except for maybe Trey Smith getting a franchise tag in the middle of live radio.
No, but they know that was a possibility. They knew that was what it was going in. So now it goes on to plan to option B, whatever that might be. Is there another guard that headlines for you that says, okay, that wasn't the guy because they decided to franchise him. Go get this guy. Is there a guy out there that you believe as strongly in from a guard standpoint?
Not anywhere near as strong as I felt about Trey Smith. I mean, a guy like Kevin Zeitler would be a major upgrade. Obviously, a ton of familiarity with Ben Johnson and that scheme. And I think that's somebody he could trust right away as a plug-and-play guy. It gives you more flexibility. And frankly, you know, they're going to be looking like a number 10 pick. Obviously, tackles are going to be out there. I like the idea of having a veteran interior for a young quarterback. If it's a veteran center, veteran guards, like, and frankly, I think they're going to be revamping this entire offensive line outside of Darnell Wright. I think it's going to be 4 new starters in place. The money's there. There's plenty of options in the open market. And when Ryan Poles tells you, like, their needs match what's going to be out there, the strength of free agency and the draft, like, he means it. That's dead on serious. And it's a great position in which to be.
Chris Emma with us on Sports Radio 670 The Score, live from the Combine in Indianapolis. Mark Grody was talking about the two of you hanging out in, what was it, the High Velocity Lounge at the JW Marriott.
They go to all the places.
Just sort of spotting people. He says that you've got a pretty good eye for people watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's I'll tell you what, though, on the other end of this year, I mean, I've covered this team for 10 years now that's been – gosh, I mean, what is it? 4 different head coaches now. It's so many different regimes. Like, I'm getting to the point where I recognize faces but forget names and wonder, like, there's a couple times where I actually pulled up my roster. Is that guy still on the staff? I can't remember. Like, there's been so much turnover for this team. Like, if you cover the Chiefs, you probably just know everybody. You see the same people every year. They've been there for years, if not more than a decade for some of these guys. And there's such a constant turnover. I asked somebody with the Bears today, can you name every face that you've seen so far, these new guys coming in? And you got to refamiliarize yourself. But it's always fun and all serious. You build so many relationships with these people, and you walk around the hallways or the restaurants around here in town, and you see so many people just walking, you know, from your hotel to dinner. You'll see 3 or 4 different people you've covered over the years just on a quick few block walk.
Meanwhile, you're familiarizing yourself with a lot of new faces as we try to gear up for what will be a top 10 draft pick for the Bears. Is there anyone you think they should be targeting with that number 1 pick, or are you of the belief they should trade back? Do you have any strong opinions?
I don't know if I will speak for our guy, Mark Grody, here, because we have a consensus we're forming. And I don't know if it's going to happen. Mason Graham out of Michigan is a guy who's really high on my list. And I think there's a chance. I've seen him mocked in like top fives, and he might not fall. But I think there's a scenario in which he could be there at 10. And if he's there at 10, jump on that. Hearing a guy like Daniel Jeremiah, whose opinions I respect so much, talking about Mason Graham is not the most elite-looking prospect. He doesn't have that giant, massive frame. But this guy understands leverage better than any prospect in the draft. I think DJ said it, like, beyond elite kind of leverage ability. That's your three technique. That's one of the highest floors in this entire draft is a guy like Mason Graham. The tackles look great. You're going to get a really good player at that number 10 pick, and you hope quarterbacks are flying off the board early on if possible. But I like the options for the Bears. When you look at offensive line, defensive tackle, defensive end, like, you're going to get a good player who fits your need in some way, shape, or form.
Chris, Emma, we appreciate it as always. Thank you much.
Take care, guys.
That is Chris Emma of The Score. I can't believe 10 years? He's 10 years on the beat?
Yeah. A decade.
Wow. Like, that stat blew my mind. But that was even bigger than when we got the franchise tag news. Apparently, latest from Rappaport, the Chiefs are going to try to negotiate a long-term deal. This is just the starting point.
Okay.
Basically, look, here's a number right now. You're not going anywhere for now. And they're going to use this as the beginning of a multi-year contract negotiation.
24.3 sounds...
That's
good. It's not chump change for a guy who was drafted so low because of health reasons way back when.
That's good work for an interior lineman.
So now we got to figure out where the Bears are going to go from here. And like I said, they knew this was a possibility. We heard, what, a week ago, 50-50 that he stays with the Chiefs. And we just heard Chris Emma talking about, well, you know, Travis Kelce's coming back. That thought lasted about 60 seconds, 90 seconds before you had to break the news.
I just thought I couldn't believe it. Then I checked, like, is this real? Is this okay?
Make sure it's the real correct Ian Rappaport.
Don't forget that we've got giveaways. So we still haven't given away either one yet. We have a pair of tickets to the Cubs season opener watch and listen party with Mully and Haw at the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. And we also have a pair of tickets to see Neil Young performing live, Huntington Bank Pavilion, Northerly Island, Wednesday, August 27th.
Would it be weird if I showed up to that party?
Which one?
The Mully and Haw party. I mean, I'm going to watch the game.
You're up anyway.
And I'm going to watch the game, so why not just come here and watch it and have some conversation? I'm sure they'll feed us, right?
You're going to watch it live?
Will they feed us?
I'm sure they will.
What do you mean, watch it live as opposed to?
Later in the day.
Don't we have to do a radio show that day after the game? Don't we need to know what happened?
Yeah, but I don't want to get up at 5 a.m. to watch a Cubs regular season game.
When are you going to? It's not just a it's the opener.
Yeah, it's one of 162.
But what I'm saying is we have to do a show right after the game. Like, they're doing the post game, then
right.
Then
it's how many people do you think are actually going to get up and have watched it?
That's why we need to watch it for them. No, you're not on board. Okay, it'll be just me. Studs, will you watch the game? Or you? Yeah,
probably be listening.
It's gonna be me by myself. I got it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna record it, and then when I get up, I'll catch up with what I have to catch up with.
Maybe,
but there's no reason to actually.
Like, maybe I'll just listen to the game. Go to the gym. We do a 5 a.m. workout.
Well, if you're up anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying, but I won't watch it, and then I'll watch when I get home the rest.
But if you get up at 7, and we got to be at work at 9, and for a baseball game, you can watch double speed anyway. You can watch the whole thing in 25 minutes if you want.
It feels inauthentic. I don't know. For game one?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's one outcome.
I like watching sports. I don't know. It's not, you yeah, say not it's,
a, I like. I do too.
Oh, hold on, Dan.
But not at 5 a.m.
You're saying it's one outcome, but it's also the only game on record at that point, you know? So it's
right,
it's one of 162, but it's also one of one.
Look, you'll,
it's the only game that's been played.
You will learn.
I want to be able to speak to it.
You will know in a baseball season. I try very hard to not ride the roller coaster.
What day of the week is that on? Maybe that will be the factor that solves for me. It's on the 18th. It's on a Tuesday.
March 5 a.m. March 18th.
On a Tuesday. Turn up on a Tuesday.
Why, are you up late on Monday nights usually?
No, you know that. You know the answer to that question.
Right. You're asleep before I am sometimes.
Man, I'm asleep before y'all a lot. This whole week, I've been going to bed. As soon as that Bulls game went off last night, I think at halftime, I brushed my teeth, floss, and I'm like, all right, Let's see if we can stay up for the rest of this game.
Yeah, it was weird for me because I made a nice dinner. I had some rotisserie chicken, and I had that jarred gravy that
Here
I like,
and
some mashed potatoes. And then I went upstairs, and I went to bed, and I slept for like an hour, and I woke up, and I was starving again. And I went down, and I ate four more pieces of chicken.
You're crazy.
I was hungry.
You're not supposed to eat that close to dinner time or bedtime.
I only eat right before I go to bed.
All right. Well, it's clearly working for you. You're not big like me.
Well, I mean, I work out too. But yeah, it was weird. I just got super, super hungry. When we come back, we had Ben Johnson talking about what his various new assistant coaches are going to mean, how he's going to lean on them specifically, what some of these roles are going to be. So he talks about his lieutenants when we come back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I don't know everybody that he's hired, but I know probably half of them, and they're all really good coaches. I think he's built an outstanding coaching staff from the guys that I know personally. Certainly, I worked with D.A., Dan Roschar, number of guys over there that I think are really good coaches. And so, look, it'll be different to see him over there on the other sideline since he's been on ours for 4 years. You know, that'll be different. But that's the way this game works. You know, somebody's going to be on our sideline, somebody's going to be on the other, and you play to win.
The unmistakable mild Texas drawl of our friend Dan Campbell talking about his former assistant and the staff that Ben Johnson is assembling here in Chicago. Caller 6 right now to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670. Will win a pair of tickets to see Neil Young perform live at the Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island on Wednesday, August 27th. So he mentioned DA, that's Dennis Allen. He mentioned Dan Rouchard, who was the Bears offensive line coach. So let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say with PFT Live, specifically about how he decided on DA as the DC.
Listen, I was very deliberate in terms of the interview process. A lot of really good candidates, particularly for the defensive coordinator spot, and settled on Dennis. He was available, and he's going to do a phenomenal job. He's helped me so much so far, just with the head coaching, some of the pitfalls that could pop up as I'm getting going here. But he's got a great vision for what he wants that defense to look like, what Chicago Bears defense is going to look like going forward. And listening to him talk about the types of players we want at each spot to the scouts, it was very refreshing to me. He's detailed, he's meticulous, and I think we're going to have a great working relationship.
It's a match made in heaven, in my opinion, just because we know what Dennis Allen's track record is as a defensive play caller. We know that he does have the head coaching experience that Ben Johnson lacks. This is exactly what you want a younger guy to be paired up with to make sense in terms of running a football team. You don't know all the pitfalls that might exist that this guy can now clue you in into. I love this. I love his entire coaching staff.
People are saying the same things about Matt Eberflus and Brian Schottenheimer. If I'm Brian Schottenheimer, I don't want Matt Eberflus suggesting or telling me anything other than like what should I wouldn't even ask what sandwich is good at this place.
The problem is
we don't know if his food takes are bad.
No, I guarantee you they're terrible.
No. What I'm saying, the problem is with Matt Eberflus is with most coaches who have been head coaches and obviously got fired for whatever reason, you would think, okay, they learned from their mistakes. There's no evidence in the Matt Eberflus era that he learned from his mistakes. That's why that is not the same as this.
That's a completely fair criticism. We liked our process there. We like what we did there. No, that's the wrong answer.
Everything's looking where it is in terms of good.
No, but you understand what I'm saying, right? I'm saying from a very just objective standpoint.
No, I agree.
Based on what he would tell us after games, the day after games, and then Wednesday was
still
available?
Wrong. Yeah, you're still wrong.
It's like that compassionate teacher, right, who gives you a test and you fail the test. But like, you know what?
Why don't we retake it?
And then you come back and you retake it.
What I did here.
And then you come back and you put the same answers down to the same test. And then you come back a third time. She's like, here, let's make it an open book test. And then you still go with your answers on the open book test.
No, I like I like our process on this one.
That's what having Matt Eberflus, to me, what it might lead to if you have him as a defensive coordinator who has head coaching experience.
Dennis Allen was a head coach twice.
Exactly.
So usually you say, well, as a head coach this time around, he's learned from his mistakes. And that didn't work out. So he's had two different experiences where things have gone all sideways for him.
And it also goes back to that notion that we talked about several times last year in terms of Matt Eberflus finding an offensive coordinator. Clearly, this guy, Ben Johnson, not intimidated by a guy who has been a head coach before. You know why? The big reason might be his confidence.
He's not lacking for that.
His intelligence. And the fact that his paycheck says, I'm not threatened by anyone.
Well, he was asked also on PFT Live how his routine weekly is going to change now that he's a head coach for the first time.
I won't know entirely until we get into a game week, but I do know early into the week it's going to be a little bit more in terms of the media, or it's going to be a little bit more in terms of managing the roster as opposed to watching tape. And so I've learned that from the guys I've been around that have called plays in the past, and they always say, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday before you really can get into the film and sink down to it. So I just know it's going to change.
How involved will you be in the defense?
I am going to know exactly what's going on that side of the ball, but that's also the reason why I need an experienced voice in Dennis Allen on board as well, where I do have complete trust in him. He's done it at a high level. He's got a lot of skins on the wall. He's the defenses that he's coordinated or been the head coach of, they've been great. Red zone, third down, all the things that were important to me, that's what showed up for him over the course of his career the last 10 years.
That sounds like he's not all that interested in the defense. That's just kind of how I read it.
Well, I think it's the ability to turn over the defense to someone else and say, I don't have to particularly worry about this. And
back, same thing. Yes.
Back to the Dennis Allen point about defensive coordinator to a head coach. His first head coaching stint, because I was like, he was really bad in Oakland, right? I went back and looked. 4-12, 4-12, 0-4 before being fired. That's bad. It's almost a wonder that he got another head coaching opportunity.
Right. It almost says like he must be really well respected in the fraternity to get a second shot after that disaster.
So the 0-4 was in 2014 before he was fired midseason, right? I will say this. In 2022 with New Orleans, who wasn't a great team as far as having a quarterback that was going to lead you anywhere, he went 7-10. Second year, he went 9-8. Hey, he has a winning season on the ledger. And he has improvement from first head coaching job to second head coaching job. Now, in year three in New Orleans, 2-7, fired after week 9. That's different. But I can say it seems like he may have learned from the first job to the second job, and now he can impart some of that wisdom, at least from an operational standpoint of being a head coach versus being a coordinator.
Okay. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. There's more from Ben Johnson in his talk with Cassie Carlson of Fox 32. He named somebody else very important to his staff, that being Antoine Randall L.
He's going to be charged with not only the receiver room, but really the offense and the entire team. Mm-hmm. That assistant head coach title, that means something to me, that means something to him. He's really going to spearhead our turnaround here in Hallis Hall, and it's going to show up on Sundays going forward. So I think what is really going to relate to our guys is when they understand how wholesome he is and how he's really invested in not only their success as a football player, but so much more off the field than anybody would ever know. So once they get to know the true Randall L., I think it's really going to come to light.
Antoine Randall L., he's a local legend, first of all, as an athlete. He's a guy who brings a certain energy.
Oh, he runs up and down the sideline like
No, I'm saying like the vivaciousness. I mean, there's different ways you can describe it, but he's not going to be lacking in the way that Ben Johnson talked about himself and his energy combined with the Antoine Randall L. as your assistant head coach energy. That should be enough to sustain them for a moment or more.
But the assistant head coach title.
That's how you got him coach from another team within the division.
It's just that is a nominal promotion. I don't know that anybody looks at. We know what the masthead is. It's head coach, it's coordinators. I don't think anybody's like, well, it's what does the assistant head coach have to say? You know, nobody remembers those things. It looks great, and it allows you to make a hire that would otherwise be lateral.
But I think also Randall L. coming home, I think there's going to be juice there. Now, whether that juice affects anything on a roster standpoint, that's no. But also, to have him in the receiver's room, I think that does mean something. He's got a lot of experience as an NFL receiver, but also as a receiver's coach.
And they may still need to add a receiver
here. They definitely need to
add
a receiver.
There's going to be some names. That's a position we haven't gone shopping for yet, is it?
We should do that. I don't know that there's many in the top 50, though.
No, there's some corners out there, but there's I don't know if it's free agency. That's usually one where I don't mind grabbing a mid-round somebody.
Pick.
Yeah, a third-round pick.
Okay.
Yes. I think I don't like the gambler's fallacy, but I also believe by variance that there's no specific reason why Ryan Poles is bad at third-round picks.
We'll find out together, won't we?
Over time, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe there will never be enough Ryan Poles third-round picks.
I think
there would have to be a significant number of them to say something about the number three that makes
four is
him
not enough?
No. fourth or just to say, like, he's uniquely bad at a certain round of the draft?
We'll find out together, Dan.
I'm with Dan on this. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would you be bad specifically at that? It doesn't make any sense. There's no logical reason why you would just be bad at that.
He's terrible at third round picks.
No, I'm not even saying in that manner. I think the later you get in the draft, though, the more you have to really... It's a lot easier to make a first round pick.
But he's found good players later in the draft.
And early in the draft.
Yes.
But for some reason...
So a blind spot.
Thank you!
A blind spot.
It doesn't make... There's no logical reason. No, we won't. We'll never have a large enough sample size.
What would be a large enough sample size?
If he's here for 20 years. If he's here for 20 years...
And all the third round picks are terrible.
State your number. Is it 10 or is it 7?
It'd have to be enough to make a reasonable mathematical... Okay. You know more about math than I do.
I probably do. But
of course you do. We've established that. There's just a, I don't know, a third round pick. We've got to turn that over to somebody else. He's got no idea. Once there's a three in front of it there, forget it.
What was the, if it's, I can't remember this rule. Maybe you wouldn't remember, Marshall. Like, if you're taking a survey, what percentage of the population do you want to survey to get a reasonable representation of how the population actually feels?
Oh, it's like 10%. Much larger, yeah.
It's like 10%, right? So, let's say he's here. This is not going to happen because it never does. Like, say he's here for 20 years. And we can look at, if all of his third round picks are bad in a 20 year sample size, then we know.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
Good. Next up, Dwayne Wade tells us,
oh my goodness,
why one should just be very, very careful when you're dealing with LeBron James's cookies, like literal cookies.
Bernstein and Harris.
Really excited for you and Marshall together.
Middays 10 till 2.
Love Marshall, love his work, man, so I'm excited for that pairing.
Caller 6 to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, wins a pair of tickets to the Cubs season opener watch and listen party with Mulligan Haw at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. You'll be a part of a studio audience for Cubs Dodgers in Tokyo, 5 a.m. March 18th, and then a special broadcast of Mulligan Haw afterward. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. I present to you Dwayne Wade and why you don't mess with LeBron's cookies.
This was the first moment where I had an inkling that LeBron may not be back. One thing you don't do is with LeBron cookies. No. This is serious. Like, he loves chocolate chip cookies. Like, chocolate chip cookies and ice cream, he loves, right? And so when he gets on the plane, LeBron walks on the plane with a bag of food. One bag is all cookies, and the other bags are what his chef has prepared for him to eat, because he eats a certain way. He don't eat what's on the plane.
Yeah.
But, you know, he have his cookies. So we get on the plane, and we play cards at the front of the plane. We play cards, and then at some point, Bron gonna be like, hey, bring me those cookies. And this one day, he was like, hey, where my cookies at? And they had to come up there and whisper in his ear and tell him there were no more cookies on the plane.
Yeah.
That mother sat back away from the game. He pushed that table, that cards back. He sat there quiet, doing his head like this. I was looking, I'm like, he ain't play cards no more. He sat there like this.
It's like, you gotta know, if this card game gets shut down, serious.
Oh yeah, I
know.
It's serious.
If this card game gets shut down, it's serious.
It was too much micromanaging at that point. Like, you're talking about a team who's four finals in a row.
Right.
You don't need to micromanage us. And and I felt that Rouse did. He went a little too far with his micromanaging at points like that. You were a grown man. You don't take the cookies away from us. And this just seems small. But we get on and it changes all the chips. You got this that gets you through.
Yeah.
When I get on this plane, I want this, because this is what gets me through. Because now I'm about to fly to the city. I ain't getting in at 3 in the morning. I the food on the plane, I really don't want to eat. Mm-hmm. I can't eat when I get in. I got to get up in the morning. We got to do this again in D.C. Mm. Like, I got to have my comforts along the way, or right. I ain't going to be me. Rouse take all them comforts away when he hot.
Oh, man.
When Rouse hot, ain't no comfort.
That's kind of some BS, man.
That's some petty
stuff from Pat Riley.
Not only that, but D. Wade is absolutely correct. You know, when you're doing the things that they're asking these professional athletes to do, you know, log around the country, everything else, And you just have your small dubs, your small wins, win or lose. Like, I know I'm gonna get on this plane, I'm gonna have my food, and I got these cookies. I'm really looking forward to the cookies.
It's like when you're looking forward in your head to like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something, and then you get downstairs and one of the kids ate all the jelly,
and now you got
and put it back empty,
just peanut butter.
Like all I wanted. Something like that. You just get your mindset on.
It's just highly relatable because we've all had days where we're just like, ah. But then you're like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. And for him, it was just this bag of cookies. He just wanted his cookies.
I wonder what kind of cookies they were.
That's a great question. When he was telling the story, because he said bag, I think he said bag of cookies, not just like cookies.
Like Famous Amos?
The first thing that came to my mind was Famous Amos cookies.
It can't be. It's got to be something like... one of like the
some
like,
kind of gourmet that he has specially ordered for himself.
Maybe it's the chewy Chips Ahoy or Matt,
the soft batch.
Yeah,
it can be different.
Everybody's got their things, right? You know,
you prefer yours crispy or do you like the chewy chocolate chip?
Oh, I like the chocolate chip that is well salted. Believe it or not.
Oh, nothing beats the sea salt chocolate chip cookie. When I used to live in Sacramento, the King's Media Room was known for these chocolate chip cookies with the sea salt. They were so good, and you had to get there to get it, or else you'd end up with like an oatmeal raisin or something.
I don't mind a good oatmeal raisin cookie either, but I'm not a big big sweets guy.
Don't put fruits in my cookies.
Raisins generally. So the one place I can tolerate raisins is usually in a decent oatmeal raisin cookie.
Give me a grape or give me vino, but do not give me raisins.
Okay. No, I agree with you. Raisins are bad because those of us of a certain age think of that little...
The Sun-Made. Box. My grandmother had them and would give me...
The mini boxes, and they're in your lunch. And it's like, why do you keep putting these in my lunch? And I open them, and there's like six raisins stuck to the top flap.
I don't want this.
What about chocolate-covered raisins?
No. Just get out.
Why not?
Stop
those
trying to hide.
Just give me chocolate. What do you need the raisin for?
Yeah, give me the chocolate.
A chocolate-covered peanut is different.
Chocolate-covered. Almond, peanut.
I'll agree with you. Chocolate-covered peanut is greater than a chocolate-covered raisin. I'm just saying chocolate. What's wrong with a chocolate-covered raisin?
They taste like crap.
Yeah, they don't taste as good.
What's wrong with it?
If I could have something better, why would I want something that's subpar?
Yeah, the problem is the eating of it is what's wrong with it.
Yeah, thank you. Wow, we're agreeing on stuff today. This is odd.
I never understood people in a movie. It's like, ooh, get me raisinettes. Like, get me away from that person.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to go right for them, but if you put them in front of me, I'll eat them.
Nah.
The only raisins I like are the ones who sing I Heard It Through the Grapevine. That's the only raisins I...
the fictional anthropomorphic kind.
Yes, that's the only kind I want.
My raisins sing. Any raisin that doesn't sing is not worthy of my attention.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah, well, you should, because you were a grape, but now you're dried out.
Yeah.
So what happened to you?
Over the top. You know, sometimes it's hard to last out here. You know what I'm saying? Didn't get the Botox in time. It's too late.
Didn't have enough lotion. Come on.
Ashy grapes. That's what we start calling raisins. They're just ashy grapes.
Well, they are. Didn't properly moisturize. That's too bad. All right. I feel bad for you, LeBron. Sorry. I just like to know what kind of cookies. What's the man's cookie? Next up, it's the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes with us in transition.